Well, let's head down to Denver, Colorado, where TSN Hockey Insider Chris Johnston is down there. CJ, how are you on this fine Friday?
Beautiful day in Denver, and we might see the cup handed out. So if I'm complaining, I'm doing the wrong thing for a living.
Did you go for a run today, CJ?
I did, bud. Out here in the altitude, huffing and puffing.
Is it real? Like, how do you feel about the altitude? Because I could tell you from a player's perspective, but how do you see it?
Well, I can't compare myself athletically to these guys, but I do notice it. When I'm doing what I would say a comfortable pace is for me normally, you go to breathe and it just feels like the air isn't fully there. So yeah. I do definitely notice it, but I don't know if they do or not.
So CJ, I heard you kind of explaining it on the Chris Johnston show yesterday, what you saw from Nazem Kadri in practice, getting himself ready ahead of game four. Can you maybe explain to our audience exactly what you saw and you know, the preparation that dude put in to make sure that he was there in that game and got himself able to be the focal point and eventually score the game winner, just how impressive the entire process was from your perspective?
Yeah, well, I mean, that was Tuesday's practice, and I actually came away thinking he would play just based on what I saw, because he was so focused. Like, there was no goofing around. You know, it was an optional skate, and you know, some of his other teammates were out there, I presume, just to feel the puck and get a little bit of a sweat in, but it wasn't very intense, you know, anywhere on the ice but where he was. And you know, he's getting a teammate and, you know, engaging kind of in a stick battle with him. He's standing on the boards and having someone rim pucks around, and he's, you know, practicing, seeing how he can take them off. He put his hands up against the glass and had, you know, teammates sort of push him, body him, obviously just, you know, trying to get a feel for how his hand would hold up when he took contact in the game. And, you know, it was pretty cool to see. You know, I got to spend a fair amount of time around Nazem when he was with the Leafs, and, you know, I felt bad for him, honestly. I mean, to play 12 or 13 years in a league and never get close to the Stanley Cup and then to get injured the way he did, you know, on a dirty hit right before it, and to have to miss games, you know, is a tough spot to be in. And so it was great to see him get back and then to score a storybook goal. I mean, you almost can't script it any better than that.
If Colorado wins the cup, right, and Nazem Kadri, he's done what he's done in this series, in this playoffs, like, what's the legacy going to be for Naz? Is he fully vindicated from, I guess, the suspensions and the seasons past?
Good question. You know, I'm inclined to maybe give him that grace, but I'm not sure everyone else will be, to be honest. I think still when he gets to the playoffs next year with, you know, whoever he's playing for, because of course he's a free agent this summer, you know, I still think that there'll be some question about, is he going to cross the line? How does he harness his emotions? I mean, it's three playoff suspensions, right? That's a lot of water under the bridge. It didn't just happen once. You know, but he's played great this year in the playoffs. I think, you know, he was pretty impressive what he did in that St. Louis series after, you know, taking a lot of ridiculous abuse online and then scores a hat trick in the next game. I mean, I think he's gone a long way towards eliminating that, and you know, getting his name on the cup will be pretty good response, if you want to say. But you know, the truth is, if you look across this time, even with the Leafs, he produced in the playoffs whenever he's been on the ice. The problem was he wasn't on the ice for, you know, the end of two series in Toronto and then last year's series in Colorado here, and you know, he wasn't able to make that difference. But you know, his numbers in the playoffs are great. He's always performed well. You know, I just think it's about, you know, after three strikes against them, I just think even one cup might not fully remove the stain of that.
In conversation with Chris Johnston, our TSN Hockey Insider, I saw a stat earlier today, CJ, that Nathan MacKinnon has 15 points in 11 series clinching games. Are you expecting him to finally make his mark on the series tonight? I mean, the cup's going to be in the building. I feel like that type of motivation could allow him to go legend tonight. What do you think?
It's a reasonable pick just because he's so good that, you know, how many games in a row could he ever play without, you know, becoming noticeable, without having a moment or you know, putting up some points? I mean, it has been, I think, a bit of a quiet series for him. You know, he was doing good things in the last game. You know, there was a play where he raced back and broke up, you know, a dangerous rush from Tampa. You know, I think that, you know, we're going to all focus on the points and goals because he's put up so many over his career and he's an offensive player. But, you know, I think he's still delivered a pretty good team game, but you're right. We're certainly not a signature performance yet for him in the series he scored in the last game, but, you know, went off the skate. He didn't even know, you know, where the puck was, let alone try to put it in the net. So, you know, I think that it sets up well for him. I think it sets up well for the Avalanche. I just have trouble. I have trouble seeing Tampa get off the mat with all the injuries that they have endured. You know, how many guys are clearly playing hurt for them with all they've been through. And I just think they're facing a better, deeper team right now. And so, you know, it's hard to envision for me Colorado missing this opportunity to raise the cup on home ice.
CJ, one thing about John Cooper and the Tampa Bay Lightning, it seems like every series, every year, they're able to make adjustments. And just when you have them figured out, or you think you have them figured out, they do something and then they find their way through the series. And, you know, down 3-1 in this series, how much credit does Jared Bednar and his staff deserve for the ability to kind of counteract what Tampa and John Cooper has been able to do adjustment-wise?
Yeah, I'm really impressed with Bednar and been super impressed with the Avalanche. I mean, these are the first games I've seen them play live this year. And so, you know, they're just all around. They've been building towards this moment and they've been ready for it. And you're right. Tampa's never been in this spot. It's not just that they've won 11 straight series. You know, they've never been down 3-1 at any point. They only played two game sevens in those 11 series. So basically they've been in the driver's seat for almost all the games they played during this championship run. And Colorado's really put them in a tough spot here. But I would expect more adjustments from Cooper. I just don't know which of his players are going to be available. They're about to take the ice here shortly. But, you know, so many guys leaving the bench in the last couple games and coming back. You know, maybe Braden Point finds a way to play tonight. But, you know, it just feels like the time for the Avalanche to, earn their rightful place. They've been a pretty high-end team for a couple of years here. And a lot of that goes to Jared Bednar, you know, who's won at every other level. I believe he's won an ECHL title as a coach and then Calder Cup in the AHL, and, you know, he's got a chance to go 3-for-3.
In conversation with Chris Johnson, our TSN hockey insider. CJ, I think most people would agree that Cale Makar, to this point, would be the Conn Smythe winner. I think he's the, you know, over at FanDuel, he's definitely the favorite to win it. Do you think that the NHL should maybe go into a direction that the other sports leagues do, where they look at the Stanley Cup as a finals MVP itself? Like the NBA has a finals MVP, it's the Super Bowl MVP. They look at that in, you know, specific series or game, whereas the NHL goes full playoffs. Do you think that the NHL should look into doing something like that, or do you like the fact that it's a full playoff, you know, MVP award that they hand out?
Well, the history of it's hard to ignore, right? And if you look at the names of the guys that have won that trophy, it really is the cream of the crop, across time. And so I have trouble imagining them changing things up and doing that, but I wouldn't mind it, you know, because let's face it, there's really no drama. Like if Colorado wins tonight, I don't care if someone scores 7 goals in the game that isn't Cale Makar. I still think Cale Makar is probably winning the Conn Smythe. But, you know, if we were doing it for the final, you might say Valeri Nichushkin, for example.
Exactly.
Could be honored that way because he's probably been the most impactful skater for Colorado in the four games we've seen played so far. And you know, he's someone who's not realistically, in my view, you know, in the running for the Conn Smythe across the playoffs, but, you know, it'd be a pretty cool thing in his resume to say he won that. And so, you know, maybe in time we have that, but the Conn Smythe trophy goes back a long, long way. And so I don't think there'll be any rush to sort of retire it or dilute it by having a second award.
CJ, it feels like it's been a long time coming for the Ottawa Senators, but how big is this new arena deal that they have in LeBreton Flats?
Well, I think it's absolutely critical for the survival of the franchise to find a way to get a rink built downtown. You know, I'm sure a lot of our listeners have spent time in Ottawa, but, you know, they've built a light transit system in the last couple of years that will service that arena. It's, you know, so much nicer than going out to Kanata. You know, I always don't like covering games there because downtown Ottawa is beautiful, but there's no reason to get there, basically. I mean, you might as well stay in the suburbs when you go to games. And so I think that, you know, it'll go a long way, too. If you know, Eugene Melnyk's daughters right now are in control of the team. I mean, essentially there's a board in place that runs it. But at some point, maybe they'll look to sell that team. And if they do, I think a new owner would be far more interested in buying it if that person were to know that, you know, there's either that rink's being built or maybe it's open by that point. But, you know, knowing that you're buying it with that in mind is great. So it was a, you know, big piece of news for them yesterday. And you know, I think Ottawa's needed it. I just don't know how much longer they could you know, survive out there in the suburbs, especially with the ownership situation still to kind of be determined.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that. You know, you didn't like going out there to cover the team too much. I saw it was on Instagram, I think it was. Philip Forsberg tweeted a picture, and he was in downtown Ottawa. He said, wow, this place is real. It actually exists. It's beautiful.
You don't go. If you're a player, you never
go. Because he's like, I always end up going straight from, I guess, the airport right to Kanata. He didn't even know that, like, downtown Ottawa existed.
You stay at this Brook Street Hotel. It's right, I mean, it's probably like a five-minute drive from the rink, and there's like, I don't know, CJ, you could probably tell me too. There's like one restaurant. We always ate at the same restaurant out there. We'd take a shuttle service there, like 18 of us to go eat.
Yeah, it's not a good setup. Like, I think Kanata is a nice place to live for families. It's suburban. It's a suburban area.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, no place to have the rink. And look, most teams pretty much everywhere have gone towards putting stadiums downtown. I think that model makes sense. And you know, it'll open things up for the Senators too. I mean, they've had a lot of really big attendance issues. You know, even before the pandemic started, the interest in that team has declined. And you know, I just think that the rank will help ensure the health of the franchise longer term, because, you know, there was going to be talk eventually about moving if they didn't get this kind of deal done.
Well, unless the Leafs are in town, then they have no problem selling that building out. Just a little shot there. A report.
AB, are you a Leafs fan?
No. What are you talking? No, I'm not. What do you say? I'm a neutral observer of hockey. I report on hockey. Come on. I'm a professional, CJ.
You're professional. A professional.
There was a report that came out last night, though, about Patrice Bergeron maybe returning for one last kick at the can. Can you potentially shed some more light on that, and maybe where Boston might be on the coaching front, still waiting to hear something about who would be the guy behind the bench next season for them?
Yeah, I mean, huge boost for the Bruins, the fact that Bergeron, you know, wants to come back. I mean, it had looked to me, just sort of looking the way the winds were blowing and what he was saying, that he was very seriously considering, you know, stepping away and not returning for another season, which is crazy given that he just won his fifth Selke trophy this year and, you know, still a very productive player. And I think maybe bad news a little bit for other Leafs fans like yourself, AB, is that, you know, it sort of indicates that the Bruins aren't going to go, you know, full rebuild here and, you know, this coming year. I mean, there was some thought about that, just given that Brad Marchand, Charlie McAvoy have had off-season surgeries, won't be available till, you know, late November, early December. You know, with Bergeron's status up in the air, there's the David Pastrnak situation needs to be resolved. He's got 1 year left on his deal and can sign an extension this summer. You know, and with the firing of Bruce Cassidy, you know, because, you know, they're looking at younger coaches. I think they're looking at, you know, trying to potentially even give it to someone for his first NHL head coaching job. You know, sort of pointed to maybe them taking a step back in the short term to try to reload. But if Bergeron's back, I would expect that's a signal that they're all in on trying to win next year. And maybe we'll see another Leafs-Bruins series in 10 months or so.
Yeah, I could potentially see. I'm just thinking, like, it seemed like maybe you could see the Atlantic Division maybe not get weaker, but, you know, a couple of these teams fall off a little bit. I mean, but it seems like they're just going to keep at it. Like, you figure, okay, the Bruins might be going into a little bit of a rebuild. The Panthers, you know, what's going on with their coaching situation? They get bolstered by adding Paul Maurice, and then you think Detroit's going to get a little bit better. You have to think Ottawa's going to take a bit of a next step. The Atlantic, I mean, if you're the Maple Leafs, that's going to be a much more, maybe more difficult next season than it was this season.
Well, if you look at the last 6 years of regular season play, Tampa has the most wins of any NHL team. Boston has the third most, and Toronto has the fifth most. And so you got three of the top five teams over 6 years in the same division. Obviously, they have to go through each other. And, you know, Toronto's lost two game sevens to the Bruins and one game seven to the Lightning in that time. I mean, it's not going to be easy. And, you know, Florida has some cap issues. So, you know, maybe they'll get a little weaker before next season, depending on how they manage those situations. You know, the Lightning, You're never going to count that group out. But at some point, you know, time will run short for them. They played so much hockey, but, you know, they still have Andre Vasilevsky. So, you know, they're always going to be a dangerous opponent if you go up against them in the playoffs. And you know, I think Buffalo's on the rise too. I mean, they didn't get a ton of attention maybe in the second half of the season, but I saw them play a couple times. Like, they look like they've started to figure something out there. And you know, they still got some players coming too, Owen Power to their lineup. So, you know, it's just going to be a tough challenge for the Leafs. But look, those teams look at the Leafs as a tough challenge. I mean, Toronto's got superstars on their team. I mean, Austin Matthews just maybe had the greatest season ever by any Leaf, and he's still only 24 years old. So, you know, Toronto's not going anywhere either. But they're going to have to climb the mountain the hard way, it would look like coming out of the Atlantic Division with the divisional playoff format we have.
It's funny you mentioned Buffalo, because I think that's AB's second favorite team. So you're getting all of AB's favorites in today, CJ. Perfect. report coming
Go
out today. report coming out today that Luke Richardson's going to be hired as the head coach in Chicago. And by all accounts, like for me, being around the league, he's been around the league a long time, but you never hear a bad word about him. You hear about how much guys love playing for him. You know, what led Chicago to Luke Richardson and hiring him?
Well, incredibly well respected. You know, you never heard a bad word about him, because I've never heard one either. So, you know, I think that tells a story about, you know, what he's about. And he's ready for this moment. He's been a long, long time assistant coach in the NHL, you know, largely coaching defensemen. He was a defenseman, of course, played many years at that position in the league, and you know, even spent time as an AHL head coach over the years. So, you know, I think that he came out of their process because, you know, they're going to be a young team. They're not going to be competitive. They need, I think, someone who's a positive type of coach. They're not looking for a hard ass to go in there and try to, you know, shock the system or anything like that. I mean, they're going to be going through a building period here where potentially, you know, there's 1 year left on Patrick Kane's deal and Jonathan Taves' deal. You know, maybe those guys are moving on. You know, I think that they're probably looking still at a couple-year rebuild. You know, they're talking about trading Alex DeBrincat right now. He still isn't that old himself, but I think it's a sign of kind of a longer-term plan that Kyle Davidson's put in place. And so I think that someone with Luke's track record, but also just his reputation as you know, being you know, a player-friendly coach, I think makes a lot of sense for where Chicago went there.
In conversation with Chris Johnson, our TSN Hockey Insider. CJ, it's that time of the interview where we must ask the obligatory Leafs question and get the update on the free agents that they have. It's been a little bit quiet on the Leafs front, but you reported on IT some of the figures that some of the guys are looking for. Any progress with anybody throughout the week?
Not that I've heard of, if there has been. You know, it seems like it's been quite quiet on that front. You know, I think if we get this close to July 13th and the free agency opening, you know, just it points to, you know, I don't know that this is a huge surprise, but someone like Ilya Mikheyev probably having to move on just because he is trying to command a salary somewhere in the $4 million range, maybe even a little bit above. We'll see if there's multiple teams interested, you know, it might be able to create a market for himself there. But, you know, unless Toronto was making other trades or shipping other players out, I just, you know, can't see a world where they could make that work. And, you know, it's been for a while now that they're going to move on at the goaltending position. And so, you know, Jack Campbell's likely going to market. You know, we'll see how that goes. There's always a little bit of a carousel when it comes to goaltending on the free agents day itself, because, you know, there'll be three or four teams in on the same types of players. And so if one guy goes one place, you know, there's a trickle-down effect. So maybe there's a world, even if Jack Campbell isn't signed by the Leafs before then, that he still ends up back in Toronto. We'll see everything materializes. But, you know, it doesn't seem like they've made much progress with the UFAs, and I think that they'll be value shopping as they were last year, you know, looking for guys maybe that aren't qualified, you know, that are in their mid-20s, you know, similar to what they did last year with Andre Kasha and David Kampf. You know, I think that's where they'll look to fill out the roster, and then we'll have to see how the goaltending plays out. I think that's probably the biggest decision, just because of the impact it'll have on the roster.
Yeah, I remember there were some reports out there earlier in the playoffs, I guess, but like offseason for some of those teams, that there's going to be a potentially quite a few guys who surprisingly may be left, you know, as RFAs who they're just not going to qualify.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough spot for teams now. It's the way the system works. If you qualify the player, the player can take the team to arbitration, and whatever the arbitrator decides is binding. You know, the Leafs are in that situation somewhat themselves with Pierre Engvall, for example. You know, I'm not suggesting they won't qualify him, but there's a decision to be made because, you know, there's a risk if you go to arbitration with the player and he's more money than you think he's going to get. You know, you can't walk away from that contract unless it's over $4 million. So, you know, I think that market force and, you know, just also having essentially a flat salary cap that's going up by $1 million. But, you know, for a fourth straight year, the cap has not moved in a meaningful way. You know, sometimes forces those hard decisions, and you know, you might find yourself with some intriguing free agents. I think, you know, in the right age band for the Leafs. You know, I'm not sure Toronto wants to bring in as many old guys as they have in the past. I think the formula they found last year worked better. Is, you know, the Buntings and Comps and Kashas, you know, they're all you know, about the same age as their core group. And you know, I think it makes more sense to kind of look for your, you know, the depth spots in the core group, you know, and among that crop.
Well, we'll see what happens, CJ. I'm sure you'll be on it, as always. Appreciate taking the time, pal.
All right. Enjoy yourself.
You as well. Enjoy the game tonight. There he goes. Chris Johnson, our TSN Hockey Insider, down in Denver, Colorado for Game 5.